The Business Bunker.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk and 107.9 FM. Here on Tuesday, the 20th of October, you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely fabulous Shirley Mansfield. Hello, Shirley.
Lovely to be back with you all, Paul.
It's absolutely fantastic to have you here. We got rid of Jules again.
I know, 2 weeks I hear she's
She's back in New York. Any minute now she'll be waking up and sending us pictures of her breakfast as normal. But it's an absolute pleasure to have you help co-host the show even. Shirley, thank you for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Haven't seen you for ages. How have you been doing?
I've been doing really well.
Good.
Really good, yeah.
Yep, keeping busy.
Very busy summer, yes. Few trips away. Got a lovely soaking last month at the Solheim Cup.
Oh, right,
okay. Everybody doesn't know what the Solheim Cup is. Everybody knows I love to play golf, so that was the latest version of the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely.
Sopping wet and the wrong result, but never mind.
But apart from that, brilliant.
Apart from that, it was a brilliant girly trip.
Lovely. Cool. Basically, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, as always, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call us on 01-303-874-998. That's 01-303-874-998. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the best way to interact with us while we're live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. So we've had quite a few tweets already, and we will be reading those out shortly. But we'd love to hear from you, the businesses of Kent. I'd also like to say a massive thank you to today's show sponsor, which is The Barrister Broker. Instead of going to a solicitor, go direct to a barrister and save lots and lots of pounds. Access the most expert and cost-effective legal services that are available. A lot of people don't realise that things changed some years ago, and you now no longer need to engage a lawyer in order to engage a barrister. You can now go direct. You can therefore save tons and tons of money, and you can find the right lawyer by using Russell Burton Lawrence, the barrister broker, who has lots and lots of connections and will put you in touch with the right person to handle your legal issue. And you can find out about the barrister broker by going to their website, which is www.thebarristerbroker.com. TheBarristerBroker.com. So a massive thank you to Russell and the team at The Barrister Broker for sponsoring today's Business Bunker a radio show. Now I'm going to start off with the first tweet which I got early this morning, which was lovely, and that's from Chives Caterers, and it says, "Hi VanillaWeb and the Business Bunker, how about a shout out for Chives? We're doing Xmas parties, corporate launches, whatever the event, we can cater, and you can find out about them at their website, which is Chives, C-H-I-V-S, Chives Caterers with an S, .co.uk, and you can follow them on the Twitter at Chives Broom. That's Chives, C-H-I-V-E-S-B-R-O-O-M-E. Chives Broom on the Twitter. So do check them out. Check out chivescaterers.co.uk or check out their website. And there's a big shout out for you guys. Shirley, I wonder if you would mind reading the first email.
Well, I'm going to introduce, or actually you've started to introduce, a new concept to the UK, which is the Unconference.
Oh, right.
Now, I understand that you've imported this personally from California.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. Like oranges.
Now, okay, so a date for everybody's diary, Thursday the 19th of November at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge. The event happens between 11 and 3 p.m., and it is what it says it is. It's an unconference. So it doesn't have an agenda. It's a new and unique event where you get to set the agenda and make things happen. So if you've got any experiences to share on how you overcome challenges in innovating and growing your business, and you'd like to come along and pitch it to everybody, start some discussion and some debate going, then make sure that you come along. Now, you can get full details of all the booking details via kentbusinessradio.co.uk/entrepreneurs-unconference. Attendance is free of charge, so just bring yourself and a spark of desire to be more of a participant rather than a delegate. So actually get in and get involved rather than sit back and have a snooze.
Absolutely. This is a first.
It is a first.
It's a first in the UK. Yeah. It's a first in Kent, therefore. It's a, as Shirley quite rightly said, it's a thing that was pioneered that came out of the whole TED and TEDx scene in California. And there's been some unconferences held very successfully over there. And we decided it's a partnership between Business Bunker Show, Rift Accounting, Canterbury City Council, Start My Biz, and Advantaged Business Partners. And we're staging this conference, as Shirley says. It's free to attend. It's a very first. We're really excited about it. It's creating a huge buzz. Even if you don't want to say anything, come along.
Absolutely.
There's going to be some fascinating insights there and stuff like that.
I think it's always nice when you go and hear something new and something that's sort of off the cuff and people have thought about starts debate. But it's also a great way to build new connections, create some new business opportunities, share stories.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, good. So just to remind everybody, Thursday, November the 19th, Canterbury Cathedral Lodge, 11 till 3. Details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay.
I've had an interesting tweet. I don't really know what to do with this, but I'm going to tell you it anyway. And it's from the lovely Vicky Rimmer. And she says, Vanilla Web, there's a ukulele flash mob at the Otford Sainsbury's. And here's a YouTube video of it. So if you want to see what a ukulele flash mob looks like in Otford, if you follow Mum Books, Mum, M-U-M-B-O-O-K-S, Mum Books, on the Twitter, you can find the link to the YouTube video of the ukulele flash mob. Blimey.
It's conjuring up all sorts of images,
We're a weird lot in Kent, aren't we?
Yeah,
conferences without an agenda, ukulele flash mobs, blimey.
Absolutely.
We're very avant-garde and leading edge.
Mm.
Mm. I think if you want to go with another email.
Okay, fine. Well, we've got the Get Social Kent event, which is Kent and Victor Chamber with Zoe Cairns, social media, bringing together a day packed full of social media content, expert advice, tips and strategies for everybody to take away and use straight away in their business. Now, this happens again at Canterbury College. This time it's Thursday the 29th of October, so that's in half term, I seem to remember, and quite close to Halloween. 9 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. and that's free to attend. For more information on that one, again, you need to hit the website, but this time it's www.socialmediakent.co.uk. So socialmediakent, all one word, .co.uk. And that's Thursday the 29th of October with Zoe Cairns.
Fantastic. Thank you. We've had a tweet from Fruitworks, the lovely folks over there at the Shared Workspace and Community Hub in Canterbury again. It's all happening in Canterbury today. And they say, can we have a shout out for our awesome co-working space in Canterbury, please? Just consider yourself shouted
out. Okay, I've had a tweet in here, Paul. I don't know if I can do this one.
Yeah, go for it.
From David Fenn, who is from the British... I'm going to come back to that a little bit. Anyway, he's telling me that they're running some conferences and seminars and training courses called The Winning Bid in conjunction...
I've got an email about that.
You've got an email about
Shall
it.
Shall I read the email?
Yeah,
Or do you want to
read
the email? Because it's your tweet.
It's my tweet. Okay, so... have you ever wondered how you can secure public and private sector contracts? Do you need to improve your success rate when it comes to bids and tenders? So this is a free one-day conference, and it's being billed as a must-attend event for you. Millions are spent every year across the country by public sector organisations and large institutions buying in services and equipment, and yet only a small percentage of that reaches local businesses. So this initiative is a way to access those opportunities. So the event, again, wow, there's lots of bookings for Canterbury College at the
moment. It's all happening in Canterbury at the moment,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly, and this is the day before Zoe's event. So this is Wednesday the 28th of October, 9 till 3:30, and this is called The Winning Bid, which is a programme to help Kent-based SMEs get tender ready. So, and also, they will be explaining how certified management systems can help with supplier ratings during that tender process.
Fantastic.
Free to attend that one. Information on that one is via the Kent and Victor Chamber website. So Kent and Victor Chamber, all one word, .co.uk/events.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that. That was apposite, wasn't it? Getting a tweet and an email at the same time.
Well, it was. But slightly embarrassing. I forgot where David came from. So British Accreditation Bureau.
That'll be it.
That'll be the one.
BAB.
Fab, yes, absolutely.
JR Car Parts have tweeted in to say they're tuned in and listening to the Business Bunker show, and thank you so much for supporting us. That's JR Car Parts, and you can follow those guys on the Twitter, JR, J-A-Y-A-R, Car Parts, all one word, and JR are motor factors, and they have many, many branches right across the United Kingdom, but they're especially very special here in Kent, so do check them out. And thank you for tweeting us. Do keep your tweets coming. I've got an employment law breakfast seminar coming up in Ashford. Well, that's no good. It's not in Canterbury.
It's in Ashford.
It's in Ashford.
Don't worry, I've got another one in Canterbury.
Oh, that's all right. Oh, no, it's all right. I've read the rest of it. There's one in Canterbury too. We're okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, there's employment law breakfast seminars in Ashford on Thursday the 12th of November. All of these are taking place between 8 and 9.30 in the morning. So Ashford, Thursday the 12th of November, Canterbury, Tuesday the 17th of November, and Sandwich on Thursday the 19th of November. They're free breakfast seminars for HR professionals, managers and business owners that's being delivered by Girling's employment law specialist, Carl Vincent, David Morgan and Louise Purcell. The seminars are designed to give you the latest information in workplace law, and we will be held in Ashford, Canterbury and Sandwich. Full details of the topics covered and venues are can be found out by emailing seminars@girlings.com. That's G-I-R-L-I-N-G-S. seminars@girlings.com. Drop them an email and they'll tell you how to book and what the venues are and what the agenda is for the day.
Okie dokie. Now, do you fancy designing a life you love?
A what?
Design a life you love.
Design a life I love.
Yes.
Blimey.
Yeah, there's a workshop on it.
Is there really?
There is.
Blimey.
Exactly. Now, you can join professional coach Hazel Adley to create your own positive change and design life that is a wonderful fit for you uniquely. This Taster workshop is a mix of personal writing and group exploration around the concept of consciously and proactively designing a life you love living.
Mm.
Now, if you attend this, you're going to leave with much greater clarity about what you want and the knowledge of how to create powerful goals to make this happen. Now, this one is also on Wednesday, the 24th of October. This is 10 a.m. till midday. It's in Canterbury, but this time it's at the Friends Meeting House, 6 The Friars, Canterbury. There is a price for this one, which is £10. And you can book this via the eventbrite.co.uk website by typing in design a life you love, which is all one word, .eventbrite.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
We've had a tweet from the fabulous Gav, the Gaz, Pause Radio. Do give Gav a follow. It's Pause, P-A-U-Z-E, Radio, Pause Radio, Reggae Show. Gav is a great mate of ours, so do give him a follow on the Twitter, and thanks for listening, Gav. That's Gav at Pause Radio. And we've also had a tweet from Kelly Culver, Kelly Culver 96 on the Twitter. Vanilla Web, shout out please for my startup, Violet Vibes LTD. Violet Vibes LTD, supporting local musicians and retailers of funky audio technology.
Wow.
Wow. So thank you for that, Kelly. That's Violet Vibes Limited. I have got that right. Violet Vibes Limited on the Twitter, and they flog funky audio technology. Can't be bad.
No.
Shall I go? Yeah.
Right, okay. This time we're going to move to Chatham Maritime.
Blimey.
And we're going to Dickens World for the Kent Invicta Chamber After Hours Club. And their guest speaker on the 20th of October is a Business Bunker fan, Adrian Kearney from AK Pet Services.
Oh, the lovely Adrian.
Yes. So that's a free to attend event. It's open to members and non-members of the Kent Invicta Chamber. Just turn up. It's 6 p.m. till 7:30 p.m. on the 20th of October, which I think is today.
It is indeed today.
It is, yes.
It is.
So
yeah.
Get over there tonight and have a listen to Adrian.
Yeah, and Adrian will be coming on the Business Bunker show in a week or two's time to give his annual advice on how to care for your pets during fireworks season. So look out for that.
Mm.
Really good and useful information. We're going to play some music now in preparation to listening to our first guest when we come straight back. So we got some cheesy music. What do you reckon, folks?
seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fancy trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
Thinks he is a flower to be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon and it's raked up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes, but he's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, in Regent Street and Leicester Square. Everywhere the Carnavician army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
His world is built round discotheques and parties. His pleasure-seeking individual always looks his best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
He flits from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the cloth he is as fickle as can be, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower.
SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk, where businesses in Kent go to do business.
JobsInKent.com.
RIFT Research and Development, reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTResearch.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on 107.9 FM. With me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Shirley Mansfield.
Uh-huh.
I haven't seen, she's obviously struggling late, I haven't seen a tweet from Jules yet, which is good.
Well,
hopefully we can avoid this.
Perhaps she was partying hard last night.
I'm sure she was. She ripped her pants, apparently. In Central Park.
We're almost getting to too much information.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. I assumed it was an overindulgence of hot dogs and pretzels or something, but who knows. Anyway, that was the Kinks there, but a Kinks, bit of cheesy, dedicated follower of fashion. And I thought I'd choose a bit of cheesy for that, because it's an absolute pleasure to welcome our first guest of today onto the Business Bunker Show, the absolutely delightful Deborah Turner of U Image Consulting.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I love that you started with a story about Jules involving trousers and pants.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well,
very
you
topical.
See, this show isn't just thrown together, you know. There's production that goes behind this. allegedly. I'll tell you what, Debs, why don't you start off by telling the listener a bit about what you do and how you do it and all the rest of it, and then we'll go on to discuss what you're going to do to tidy up an OAP radio presenter. Yeah.
I'm good, but I'm not a miracle worker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, you know, the purpose of my business is about helping you to make the very best of you. Mm. It's about looking good, yeah, my tagline is I show you what to wear and how to wow.
Right.
Because it's really about being unique and really standing out for yourself, being memorable, but getting noticed, obviously, for the right reasons, as opposed to splitting your pants. Probably not to be remembered.
Where do pink tutus fit into this?
Well, if it works for you, Paul.
Yeah.
It's really about getting your own message out there, though. I hate kind of people being threatened by image consultants or being worried that we're going to kind of pigeonhole you or put you in a box and say you have to do this or you mustn't do that, because if it's right for you, then do you know what, it's fine.
It's interesting that you say that. Some years ago I was talking to someone and they were talking to me about seasonal colours. And they go, you're an autumn or whatever. I lost the plot. I thought I was a Leo, but whatever. Close enough. And they started telling me the kind of colours I could wear. And I go, well, I don't like those colours. And they go, no, but it suits you. And I go, but I don't like those colours. So I'm pleased to hear that, you know, you don't have to be pigeonholed. And I know that, you know, then someone would say to me, yeah, but what you've chosen doesn't suit you or whatever. And I get that. But if you just don't like something, you just don't like it, do you? And the for me, I did make an attempt to wear some things that colour. And I just always felt uncomfortable because I just didn't like it.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you feel uncomfortable, even if it might suit your particular skin tone, but if you feel uncomfortable, it's never going to look great on you.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be about what you want, what your message is, and what works for you. So, of course, there's always going to be particular colours or particular fabrics that may suit you as a, you know, your body shape, your actual shell. But it's about what's going on inside that's far more important, because if you feel good, you're going to look good on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's really getting to know what the message is, you know, how do you want to come across? What's your personality? And then it's working with all of that. So it's working with the whole all-encompassing brand to make sure that, you know, you look and feel good.
Absolutely. Now, as a consultant in this, do you tend to specialise in women? I nearly said handle men. So it's not the right word, is it?
I like handling men.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you deal with men? How does it work? What's the deal?
So my niche is basically it's professional ambitious women. It's women who are perhaps going through a positive change. So they might be changing from an employee going to entrepreneur, or they're trying to really kind of crack that ceiling level at senior. They want to get into a senior position, so going for a promotion within a professional firm. They might be returning to work after a career break. Now, that might have been to have kids. It might have been caring for parents. Or it might even be a change in relationship.
Right.
So it's where they are basically thinking, do you know what? I suddenly now know I need to stand out. I need to basically be a little bit more known in a good way. So that's my niche. But do you know what? I love working with men. Men are a little bit more, shall we say, straightforward in terms of if you ask them or tell them that something is going to work for them, once I know kind of what their brand is, then they completely embrace it, they listen, they're off and they're running.
Right.
With women, you know, which is challenging, but that's why I love working with women, is, you know, they need a little bit more hand-holding, they might need, you know, more. We often need our self-esteem boosted a little bit, but that's what I love being challenged on that front.
Cool. It's interesting, isn't it? Because as things have evolved and circumstances and life has changed in the corporate world I'm talking about now, things have changed as well. Back in the day, many years ago, you didn't have to worry about anything like this. You wore grey, black or navy and that was the end of it, and a white shirt if you're a bloke, or a white blouse if you're a lady. There was no choice. That was a corporate uniform and everybody wore it. Nowadays it's not quite like that, is it? Not least of which we have dress down days, which are a recipe for all kinds of weird and wonderful things. But not only that, in the corporate world, that I think there are different images for different types of businesses as well. You know, if you work in the creative industries now, it's very unusual for someone to turn up at work in a navy blue suit and a tie. It just doesn't happen, you know.
Well, completely. And actually, what happens is if you do that in certain environments, then you're almost become a little bit untrustworthy. It really is about knowing what's appropriate now for your industry. And I think it's probably got a lot more relaxed in some environments. In others, it's still in the city, for example. If you're a lawyer or you're an accountant, you're still probably looking at the grey,
pinstripes and big white braces. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. But it's almost, I think now people are much more aware of being able to show a little bit of personality. Mm. I mean, certainly for me, you know, I come from corporate background, come from a male-dominated industry, and because I didn't know or understand at that time that having a personal brand was important, I did get overlooked, didn't get taken seriously, probably missed out on some opportunities. Mm. Once I understood and developed a personal brand and knew how important actually it can be, then all of a sudden, you know, getting opportunities, getting headhunted. So that's kind of really why I love working with women, because often we do feel that the only way we know how to get noticed is to act like one of the boys. But actually, it's about being feminine that makes us so good at what we do often.
Sure.
And as long as you understand how to show that personality in an appropriate way, then do you know what? We can be as good as you guys and better.
Absolutely. So what I want to focus on now, if we may, Devs, is the process that you go through. When you take on a client, so you've got a lady there, she's come to you, she said, I need help, you know, I'm going for a big promotion, da-da-da-da-da, help me. So what's the process? What do you actually do in general, if you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to offer a bespoke service, but ultimately kind of what it boils down to is we start off doing a real values exercise. So what is important? What's the message that you as an individual want to be known for? So for example, if you are an entrepreneur and you gain networking, people, you want to be referred. So what do you want people to be saying about you? So we do a values exercise about, you know, what makes you tick, what makes you stand out, what's that whole mountain of value that you're sitting on. Once we then know how you want to be known and what your lifestyle involves, because, you know, for us, for all of us, not just women, but we all wear different hats through different parts of the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it often might be, you know, that you might be dropping kids at school, or for me, a dog at my mum's, then going to...
If you drop the dog at school and the kids at your mum. If you're having one of those days.
Absolutely, and yeah, I have plenty of those. Yeah. You know, so it might be that you're kind of doing three or four activities during a day, so that lifestyle might have to be taken into account in what you are going to have to wear for the day. Mm. So once we've established what your personality is, what your values are, how you want to be known, then it's really drilling down to, right, how are we going to do that in terms of what you're going to wear? So we do look at what colours might be great. And again, it's looking at what do you want to achieve? So probably when someone was speaking to you about the best colours for you, it was because their sort of reason for telling you that was to make you perhaps look the youngest or the most radiant that you want, that you could. But your remit might not be that. Your remit might be, oh, well, I want to look the most professional, or I might want to look the slimmest I can or the tallest I can. So it's understanding what you want to achieve from your look and your impact. Yeah. And then basically we work with, so we'll then look at which colours could represent in the best way for you as an individual that look. Mm. We'll have a look at what cuts, styles, shapes, what fabrics are really going to work in that way, and again be really flexible around how you need to perform during the day, because some of us might sit at a desk not need to move at all. Which means it'd be very different for someone who might be running around a shop floor or running around a factory and having to kind of be hands-on.
So that designer high vis jacket.
Exactly.
I want one.
There is now pink out there.
Is there really?
There is, yeah. I rock a red hard hat if I need to go on site when I'm doing my other job.
Right.
It's got to be all about your brand. So it's very much about then looking at, as I say, those types of fabrics. So designing almost a kind of really cool bespoke look. And then we have a look at what you might already have in that over jammed wardrobe that most of us, and unfortunately it is a lot of us women, do tend to have probably more clothes than guys as a general rule, not always.
Can I tell you a story there?
Oh, okay.
A few years ago I actually employed someone such as yourself to help me with my wardrobe, and they came to look at my wardrobe and they said, do you like blue? It's all right. And they went, do you know you have 68 blue shirts? And I went, really? And he went, yeah. Do you think that's overkill? Possibly.
But no blue shirt today?
No, well, she threw them all away. I had 68 perfectly serviceable blue shirts, and she chucked them all away.
But I bet you needed every one of them, really.
Of course I did. Yeah, I wear them four at a time.
You know, it's interesting, actually, because everyone has a thing. There's always, if you look in your wardrobe, and if you were sort of to do one of these declutter exercises, there's always a thing.
But you know, it's really funny. It is really funny. After she told me that, and I looked and I went, do you know what? You're absolutely right. That's ridiculous. Why? They're all the same. There's nothing different about them either. You know.
I bet you had one for best.
Well, I'm a bloke and I live on my own, so I don't do washing and ironing and stuff like that. So I can go for a couple of months without having to do anything like that. But but even so, having pointed it out to me, it was obvious, and I think you're absolutely right. A couple of weeks later, I go shopping. I walk into a shop completely on automatic. Oh, that's a nice shirt. And I'm halfway to the counter and I'm looking at it and it's blue. It's just a blue shirt. Why am I buying this? I've got 68 of these. Why do I need another one? Weird.
You were on default.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So I try not to leave people with a completely empty wardrobe, it has to be said. Mm. But no, we sort of try and pull out, having, as I say, really defined that true brand of what you've already got there that's going to work. Mm. And then we'll look at what key pieces you need to add to create your own true personal brand. And then either you can go off, I'll create the list, you can go off shopping yourself if you want to. I can go with you shopping, which is always a lot of fun, as you can imagine. Or, you know, you can just say, probably someone like yourself who's really busy and doesn't really like the whole shopping thing, just say, off you go, Deb, go and get it for me. I'll bring it back for you. Even might even hang it up in your wardrobe for you if you want a little VIP service.
Ironing, any chance of the iron? No.
I know someone that can.
Do you? I want to ask you a question here. And being a bloke, I'm thinking blokey stuff here, and I know that's not particularly your bag, but have you come across this thing that we've seen for the last couple of years of organisations that actually just send you clothes? Do you know what I mean? Where they measure you, ask you what kind of thing you like, and then once a month they send you a box of clothes, which costs an extortionate amount of money, and you just send them money. But you don't have, you know, if you don't like things that are in the box, you can send them back. Have you come across that syndrome?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, USA obviously are doing it phenomenally well. Trunk is one. Thread is similar. It's not quite the same concept. Thread over here in the UK, not quite the same concept as Trunk in the US. But if you look at the people that are using it, there are a lot of single professional men doing that because they want to focus on their job or perhaps going out and getting a date. And so they just think, actually, do you know what? I'm not good at shopping. I don't really know what suits me or what works for me. So I'm going to almost outsource that element of my life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think some of the services in the US, as I say, they recommend once a month. For me, that's probably a little bit overkill. For me, I can, you know, with 15 items, I can create a great wardrobe look for probably 6 months of the year. Because you've got, effectively, that could be one look for every weekend of the year. Because most guys know how to wear a suit, let's face it. If you need to wear a suit to work, it's not something that you're going to overly struggle with. You're going to look okay.
Yep.
But at the weekends, that's when it all kind of falls down. A lot of people, a lot of guys of a certain age suddenly think it's okay to look like their teenage son.
Why is she looking at me, Shirley? Shirley, why is she looking at me?
Well, I was just thinking as you were saying that, one of the hardest things I find, and I think this is really easy for guys to do, is the whole smart casual thing.
Yeah, I mean,
see, my husband does suits during the week, and then at the weekend the smart casual is like the chinos, the jeans, the shirts, the jumpers, and that to me is really easy. But for me, I find smart casual a disaster.
We've got more choice, I think, and sometimes for women that makes it more difficult. Yeah. I think because we could do, you know, we could do the dress, we could do pants, we could do jeans, we could do a skirt. So I think having more choice probably for some makes it more difficult. But then the guys moan that they don't have enough choice because they say that we've got too much choice.
Yeah.
Although no, they do moan that we take a little bit longer to get ready. So
true.
Oh no, not in my household. I'm always the first.
Deb, we could talk about this for a long, long time. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout for how people can follow you on Twitter, find out more about you, what your website is, and what they can do to get involved in having their shirts chucked out of their wardrobe.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, on Twitter, I'm at @youimageconsult. My website is www.youimageconsultancy.co.uk. I'm on Facebook again, that's You Image Consultancy. And I am running a workshop on the 10th of December at Base Point Northfleet, which basically will show you how to look killer and amazing at your Christmas party. It's on Eventbrite, but all the links are on my Twitter or my Facebook page, so go there if you'd like to come and join me for that.
Fantastic. Debs, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show and join in later on, but for the moment, Deborah Turner of You Image Consulting, thank you so much. Brilliant. I've got an email here from Linda Garcia. of Aluxy Consulting. And she says, hi, Paul. Just to give you the heads up, on a few dates I'm presenting or talking or holding workshops in October and November. If you could let your listeners know, that would be very kind. On the 21st of October, that's tomorrow, Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9:30, there's a KICC breakfast networking in the Heart of Flavour, which is in King Street in Maidstone. And Linda is going to be talking about the taboo about productivity. On the 27th of October, which is a Tuesday, between 12 and 2 p.m., a KICC lunch networking with business at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel. That's at the top of Bluebell Hill in Waterslade Woods in Chatham. And she's the keynote speaker, and she's going to be talking about taboo about productivity. I think I've spotted a theme here. on the 11th of November, between 8 a.m. and 9:30, she will be doing the talk at the Thistle Brands Hatch Hotel, that's in Longfield. And then on the 9th of December, which is a Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9:30, breakfast networking at the Coniston Hotel, and that's in Sittingbourne. So if you'd like to find out more about Linda and what she does, you can go to her website, which is www.aluxi, that's aluxi.co.uk, or you can email her, linda@aluxi.co.uk. So do check that out and check out all those workshops that Linda will be doing over the coming next 2 months.
Fabulous. I've just picked up a tweet, which you've probably got in your feed as well, from the lovely guys at Bridger House Limited.
Right.
And they've said, listening to You Image Consult on Business Bunker with Coach Simi and Vanilla Webb, dare we ask where Deborah would start with us? Now, they've sent in a picture. There's two things to mention, actually. I'm sure Deborah's got lots of places she could start with them. But the other thing is that they're in the pub. I didn't realise we were live streamed into the pub.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's Rich and Mark for you.
It is.
Yeah.
So that's good.
So you can have a look at that, Deb, and tell us in a bit later.
Love a challenge.
I've had a tweet from Cranbrook Farmers Market, who are new listeners, and they say, Vanilla Web, please can we have a shout out for Cranbrook Farmers Market? And the Fat Carrot, oh, we know the Fat Carrot, lovely Jane. We've got a pop-up cafe this Saturday, 9:30 to 1, at the Vestry Hall in High Street, Cranbrook. And you can follow Cranbrook Farmers Market on the Twitter, Cranbrook FM UK, Cranbrook FM UK. Or you can also follow the lovely Jane Apps at the Fat Carrot. And she's neither fat nor a carrot. But she is, in fact, a fabulous vegetarian cook. So do check that out. It's an absolute pleasure now to bring our next guests onto the show, and it's fantastic to see once again the lovely Julie Anderson, accompanied by Scott Howard from RAP Office Contracts. Hello, chaps.
Hello.
How are we?
Yeah, we're fine, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, we've learned how to dress now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Scott is a designer type, and that is why he hasn't got a suit on.
I'm rocking the smart casual.
Yeah.
And I'm just wearing a cardigan because I'm that kind of age. It's lovely to see you again, guys. We want to talk to you on this episode of the Business Bunker about home offices, about pods, and about those kind of things. So why don't you very quickly give us an overview for the one person in Kent that's never heard of you and what you do, and then let's dive straight into the whole home office pod thing, shall we?
Well, everyone does know me.
Yeah, of course
Julie
they do.
From Wrap Interiors.
Yeah.
And I head up the company just to make sure that we're delivering great interior refurbishments. And we've been doing it for 28 years.
Blimey.
And Scott, what do you do?
I head up the design team. Fantastic small little team, overseen by Julie, though. So she has big input. But, yeah, we try and give people fantastic workplaces.
Mm-hmm. And you quite rightly do. I mean, I've seen some of the tweets you put out of some of the places you've designed, and they are well funky.
Yeah, well, it's nice. We spend all of our life, it feels like, at work. So we've got a nice office, and we try to make sure that the companies that we work for end up with something that's a bit of a wow. The staff love it, but we have to meet everybody's budget, of course, because
we
can blow it sky high with our crazy
I'll
ideas, but we have to, you know, we're always working within people's budgets. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's explore some of these issues now, because we were discussing off air as well when we were talking about the programme. The change in work behaviour has given a lot of challenges to people in terms of space. There's lots of home working going on now, and there are lots of organisations that supply sheds this is my interpretation, sheds to put in your garden that you can work out of. But not only that, as the owner of a community workspace, we have people that are using flexible working spaces. But it's also that next level up, isn't it? How you configure an office to be as useful as possible at a time when things change so rapidly. And I guess that's where the whole pod concept comes in. So can we look at two or three of those different things and kind of kick them around a bit?
Well, I'll start and chip in, or the other way around. We'll do it together. So everything is about being flexible, and everything is about a bit of uncertainty, really, because you might have a great business, but you don't know whether to take the challenge and have new, great, big office space, and then do you sublet it, or should you go small and then just keep moving and then have all the leases and dilapidations that go with it? So there's lots of challenges, as well as running your own business, that you're trying to make decisions on. Along with schools, really, who are looking for funding to expand their schools. There's every school trying to be better than the next school. All that competition going on in business and education. And space is always the thing that everyone's challenged by. Mm. So we might go and see customers or schools and they'll say, right, I want this, 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 this. And we all know it's not going to fit in that space.
Right.
So then our challenge is, how are we going to make it work better for that customer? What can we put in there that's versatile, cost effective? And the pod is something that's a bit of a new concept in Kent, I would say. It's going on in London quite rapidly, like out on the streets in London, they'll have a pod. I think the BBC, they've got a pod where they have a music room in there so they can interview people. But the thing with pods is you can take them down. Well, clients wouldn't do this in 5 minutes, but you can get people in to take them down and put them up, and they're solid structures. So even if you outgrow your space in your office, you can take it with you. So it's a very cost-effective solution to having a bit of a funky glass spaceship-looking...
I want to talk to you about that, because a couple of years ago, this kind of thing started to get pioneered in the East End in London, and The Guardian had a thing where they were using old containers... A space, and they assembled a load of old containers on two levels and opened up pop-up cafes and temporary office space in them. So I guess that was a starting point of doing this kind of thing. Can you explain to the listener what a pod is and what it's constructed of and what it looks like and, you know, that kind of thing?
Do you want to do that a bit, Scott?
Yeah, I can do. What you talked about, you know, the container things, They're great for the architectural type recycling projects, but these are almost like the flat pack houses you get from Germany. They come modular sections. They come straight over, and they can be erected within a weekend. So they are really flexible for things like schools. So there's no fuss.
In general, what kind of material are they made out of?
They're made out of powder-coated steel composite panel systems.
Right, okay.
You've got glass, double-glazed fronts to them. Yep, so they can be used out externally as well as internally.
Okay. So. But they look quite funky, and presumably because it's made out of, I guess, aluminium or steel or something, it's not particularly heavy or whatever.
No, but it won't fall over.
Yeah. I might be getting ahead of myself here, but I'm getting all excited because I like this. When you deploy these kind of things outside, do you have to have like concrete bases to put them on? How does it work?
Yeah, it's got to have a solid base.
Yeah,
but that's not the expensive bit.
Absolutely. Have a couple of bags of cement in there, basically.
a bit of plaster or concrete on the floor. But that's the easy bit.
Yeah, they can be bolted down, so they can be secure, or they can be temporary. So
okay.
But you can have one size, and then when you need a bigger size, you bolt on another section of pod,
right?
And it can have internal doors. So something we're designing to help a client get an internal exhibition area for a pod. They're starting off with something maybe 4 metres, but as the interest grows and the momentum gains pace and more public want to come in, they can extend that, you know, each section by about another 2 metres at a time, or you can... There's lots of flexibility.
So it's almost like Lego or Meccano or something. Yeah,
it's the Lego office in a way, but it's a pop-up, and you can take it with you. So it's not like when you do move office space, you've got to take down your glass office as part of your lease dilapidations. That's all been, well, not money in the bin, because it served a purpose when you needed it. But this pod is a funky piece of furniture that you can have for Well, you can change every day. It could be the boardroom one day. It can be a quick meeting room. It can be somewhere where you just want to go and listen to music. Because they've got an acoustic solution there, 39 dB. So that's a really good soundproofing, isn't it?
Yeah, you can...
See, you're trying to get at me, aren't you? I know that. She was looking at me while she was talking about it, because she knows that me and radio studios have problems like that.
Yeah, but you're all right in here, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. It's interesting, though, that you say that in general about the pods and using them internally as well as externally.
Yeah. What about the home office? So, yes, you can all go and buy a shed, and Shirley's got a very nice posh office shed in her garden.
Definitely. Have you got a posh shed, Shirley? That's not easy to say either.
Shirley in a shed. Shirley in a shed, yes. No, I have a garden office.
Right.
Which happens to look a little bit like a shed, as my husband reminds me all the time, but it's a proper...
It's a garden room, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a garden room. It's double glazed. It's insulated. I've got Wi-Fi and all that sort of stuff down there. And it's brilliant because I'm not going to work, but I feel like I'm going to work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a good thing about the pods. When we were talking about home office recently, where a lot of public sector are having to work from home, yes, they might all not be able to afford to have a pod, but ask the employer and they should fork it all out. But there's the answer to having people working at home. And, you know, for a 4 metre by 2.5, 3 metre pod, yes, it's £15,000. But you can take it with you when you move, and they've got a great resale value because they're so with it and trendy that there's a lot of people who would take on a second-hand office pod.
Yeah.
There's nothing going to be wrong with it.
Absolutely. And it's a far sight cheaper than building an extension, as I know, because I've just built one.
The other nice thing about having a home office in the garden is that you're not constantly surrounded. When you've finished work, you can close the door and come back up to the house.
Finished work. Sorry,
yes, I know it's a concept you don't understand, Paul, but some of us do actually finish work sometime during the day. But you can actually leave all the clutter down there.
Yeah. And what about working in the garden and you're looking at a beautiful glass and you're seeing your garden?
That's fine.
Nice on a nice day, I know. But it's great. You feel like part of the squirrel. Community, don't you?
No, that was last week, squirrels.
Rabbits in my garden.
Yeah. Where do we stand with things like planning permission on pods?
Well, it's a bit of a grey area, and everybody should consult their planning authority, but probably in a garden, you've got no issue at all. Whether a school was going to have a 12-metre pod, they might have to ask for planning permission, but it's not a permanent structure.
I was going to say, it's not a fixed structure, is it? So one would assume that there wouldn't be a problem with it in
the
house.
I don't think there'd be too much trouble, but I mean, you would always consult it, but the question probably is you don't need it.
Yeah. So basically, if we want to put a pod in our garden to work out of, we need a concrete base, presumably some power to it in some way.
Yep, well, you get power to anything easily enough, can't you, outside and through the structure. And then you can have heating and lighting. With the £15,000, you get flooring, wall finishes, vents, and the glass frontage, and some mood interiors. So you can have like a
mood
nice...
Mood interior?
Oh, yes.
I like the sound of that. Low lighting.
Have, like, the sky on your wall, if you wanted.
Okay.
It's only if you wanted to add heating, but then everybody could just take in a plug-in radiator
of course,
something like that, couldn't they? You don't need to have full air conditioning system, but you could.
Yeah, sure.
So for startups, this is a great idea, really.
Absolutely. So that's garden-based ones. But I'm fascinated by this concept of putting pods inside, especially in office spaces. Is that something you're doing quite a bit of?
Well, we're just promoting this.
Right.
And we've talked to a number of manufacturers about the versatility of pods, so we know which pod to suggest to a client,
right?
Because there are different pods.
Yeah.
And it depends if you're likely to want to expand it, whether you want it to look very square, or do you like the rounded edges.
Right, okay.
So then we know which manufacturer to choose, and we're hoping to put a pod in Kent with a client within maybe before Christmas. So
okay.
Watch this space.
It's a cool idea, though, isn't it? Because we've gone from heavily constructed offices that consist of lots of rooms in older buildings. Then we went with new buildings to open plan. And then we invented cubicle farms, which is just kind of soft partitions all over the place, so that you can't hear anyone when they're sat down, but as soon as you stand up, it's like one of those gopher things at the fairground, you know, where you have to hit the guy on the head with a mallet. So, not that I'm suggesting you do that to your staff in a cubicle farm, but sometimes it feels like that. So I'm fascinated by this new approach to it, because you're absolutely right. In my own offices, we have different requirements at different times. And it's not, you know, you don't always want to dedicate a space to one thing. You know, we had a large boardroom and meeting room, which was really, really nice, but obviously empty a lot of the time. And then you hire a load more people and we start going, well, maybe we ought to move. And then you go, why don't we just put offices in the boardroom? Oh, well, then we'd have nowhere to meet. But, you know, it's that all the time, isn't it? Balancing how you configure your space to suit what you need as you go along.
And the furniture you can put in a pod is so modern and versatile now that you're not just choosing a table half the time and four seats. You're choosing modular furniture that can be configured in more of a home feel. Everyone wants the home feel in their office at the moment, wouldn't you say, what you're designing?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like a bed.
Well,
sofa,
I know
and a wardrobe
got
of shirts.
A capsule in his office. Where
he's got what?
A capsule.
Oh, right, okay.
He goes to sleep in there for a little
afternoon nap.
Power nap. Power nap, that's the word I was looking
for. Like that. Yeah. Like
so
that.
Is a capsule smaller than a pod?
Yes, it's like a. It's like laying in a sunbed. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Fabulous. I fancy one.
I like
those.
That. Yeah.
But it looks like a rocket.
Yeah, I want one of those. Are there such things as pods that come with the kind of furniture built in, if you see what I mean? So you kind of buy it and it's got the a desk and a cupboard attached, into all built into it, you know, like almost made out of one solid block of steel or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, because they're modular systems, you can get them, they come fitted. So you get, it's almost like a catalogue, basically. So you can flip through the catalogue and you say, oh, yes, I want a meeting room for six. So it comes engineered with a sofa and a table that seats six.
Yeah.
But you can have them empty and you can actually get any type of furniture that you see fit, so you can have it as an empty space and you can then have flexible furniture which you can take in and out, which is absolutely fine.
Right.
Hopefully our office are tweeting pictures of pods so that
everybody
can see what we're talking about. Yeah. If you're not, office, get on it.
Yeah, tweet a pod. Pod a tweet. Tweet a pod. I did see some that you sent out the other day and I retweeted them as well, which is fascinating. So this is kind of a new approach to constructing office space.
Yeah, to making it flexible, really, and that's what everyone wants. You might all decide and design to put the boardroom down that end, and it's a formal boardroom, and we'll build it. But actually, what about if next month you had a bit of a downturn and you needed to sublet some space, and that boardroom's the elephant in the room, and you wished you had a pod down there? Because then you could say, OK, well, we'll have that end and we can use that a bit more flexibly and we'll sublet the other end of our office. Because, you know, taking leases on is
That's something that fascinated me about this, because, as you kind of intimated, because of our changing environment and the fact that we need flexibility. I mean, just as a personal example, I was in the same office for 25 years. And I moved, and 9 months later I need to move again because I've run out of space. And you just think, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
One of the things I like about this is you can now pick your office up and take it away with you.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. You know, so it's
you take
a different...
the expensive piece with you.
Exactly. So it's not, you know, like in the past, you'd have an office and you'd call someone in like RAP...
RAP.
Yeah.
Only RAP.
There isn't anyone
there
else.
There is no one else. Yeah. And if there is in Kent, go away.
Yeah. But you'd call you guys in and you'd build me all kinds of structures that I want and you'd do a fabulous job of it. But when I move out, I either have to leave it or in some cases even demolish it.
Pay to have it taken down.
Yeah. I have to demolish it to put it back to how it was when I moved in because the landlord doesn't like the fact that I made offices out of it. So it's kind of dead money when you get to that point.
Yeah.
Whereas with these pods, you know, you just go wrap it up, I'll take it away.
Isn't it? Yeah. If you've got a bit of a business mission, it's flexible for you. If you know that that's going to be you for the next 10 years. I mean, we haven't needed to move in our company, but we were fortunate to buy two industrial warehouses, so we've knocked one into the other as we needed to grow, and right. So we had that flexible space there.
Who did you get to do it for? No. That's
okay. Bodger and Badger. No, not them. But
Bodger
we...
and Leggett, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we put our own mezzanine in and created more space there. But they're very good ideas. You know, great for schools who might suddenly want to. We want to run a music course because we've got 10 little students who. Mm. It doesn't warrant a whole classroom, but you can have that as your music teaching room or, you know, a specialist one-to-one room. But I think they're very good for schools because the old huts are a bit...
The old Nissen huts. Yuck. I went to school in a Nissen hut.
Full of asbestos and all that rubbish.
Yeah,
so.
Corrugated tin roof. Yeah. Can't hear a thing when it rains.
And freezing cold. So.
Exactly, yeah.
So, Julie, what's the largest that these go to? You talked about sort of a...
Yeah, well,
four
we're looking at one at the moment
offices.
That's 12 metres, aren't we?
Yeah, 12 metres.
What's that in English? What's that?
36 foot, something
right,
like that.
Right, OK.
Foot.
Yeah, so that's a good size, then.
Oh,
yeah,
I've just had a tweet of a pod. Blimey. That's awesome looking. That looks like the control deck of the Starship Enterprise, that does.
Oh, we go as far as Mars.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. So... Where are we with this in terms of it's kind of early days into pod usage?
I think more people are going to get more interested in the versatility of furniture.
Yeah.
And this is a piece of furniture, really. Yeah. It's a glass pop-up office, in a way.
Right.
But it's still about, you know, sometimes you still need the proper structure of an office layout.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what Scott really works on, making sure that the space is versatile and how we're getting power to this and what's the lighting going to be like. So he's involved in a lot more of the actual construction side of
design. It's one of the things I wanted to ask you, because we keep coming back to this thing, but it's absolutely true, and I know this beyond any shadow of doubt, with all the things that I'm involved in, you know, from radio studios through to hot desking spaces to my own offices. Flexibility is the key for everything these days, because nothing stays the same for very long, does it? You go along, you go, right, I want this, and then a year later you go, I don't want that anymore, I want this, or I need it like that, or can it do both at the same time, or whatever. Just to finish up, what I'd like to hear from you guys is where you think we might be heading with things like this. Is there anything coming along that's going to be the next form of pods or whatever? Or where do you think we're going to go? What could we do?
I don't know about pods, but I think people are getting more creative. Because Scott's designing three entrance areas for a client. The pond and the garden, I was thinking of those ones.
Yeah,
and that's really different, isn't it?
It's a social media team space.
Right.
And they wanted something a bit funky, so I'm looking at wow desking as you come into the room, and they sort of have their own themes to them. So one looks like a pond, they're basically sitting in a pond, and one's adapted from like a big Rubik's cube from like the 1970s. But I mean, there might be a time where you walk into an open space and you've just got 70 pods sitting in there, and you just walk in and think, well, where am I? You know.
But you could do that, couldn't you? That kind of approach changes everything, because instead of going and getting an office block, you could just go and get a giant warehouse, basically.
And make it a bit industrial looking and just put the pods in there. It doesn't really matter that the walls aren't painted off-white and it's got funky lighting hanging from the ceiling. You could leave it industrial and have all these hot desky pod type things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe that's the clue.
I'm liking that. I'm liking that a lot.
Fruitworks in a pod.
Exactly, yeah. No, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. As you know, Fruitworks, the place I own in Canterbury, is full up now, and we're looking at expanding it in different ways. And that is one way that you could do that quite easily, is to find a giant space and populate it with some pods. Why not?
Isn't that similar, though, to the Ashford Outlet Centre?
Basically.
You've got the big tented bit, that they are just literally metal boxes, aren't they, that make up the units, and they're obviously dressed inside
to make
the shots.
The feature is
the tent.
So you could have a central feature in an office, like the garden or the pond. We'll get the office to tweak those. They're amazing areas that Scott's created. So if it goes ahead, we'll be building it.
Fantastic. Fabulous. Hey, listen, we could talk about this for ages and ages and ages. Give us a shout out for how we can follow you on the Twitter and see all these wonderful creations, and give us a shout out for your website. And
We're wrapinteriors.com on the website, and Twitter's @wrapoffice.
Fantastic. Julie and Scott, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But it's been fascinating to talk to you about pods and home offices and new design criteria, and I'm all excited now. I want a pod. Don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but I want one.
Man cave.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want one. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'll find something to do with it when I've got it.
This is a little request I'm guessing that Jules might make, which is, can you find Paula capsule so she can shut him in there and rocket him off?
As long as she keeps her pants on, because she was in New York and lost her pants.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can't have that behaviour.
No, exactly.
She's been tweeting, actually.
Has she? Oh, she's up now.
Yeah, Deborah suggested that she could help her with some shopping for her new pants, and she said, I've got no trouble shopping in New York.
Right. She's currently in Macy's, is she?
Probably.
Yeah, or Bloomingdale's or somewhere. Yeah,
New York.
Cool. Hey, listen, we're going to have a mid-show break, and then when we come back, we're going to hear from Dr. Simon Raby and Hamish Clifton on the seventh in our series of traits from the Business Improvement and Growth Project at the University of Kent Business School. And this week, we're going to be hearing about the trait calculator. We'll be back after that.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.